Welcome to the Shir in the Ezra Parsha Shmini. So what I want to speak about tonight is one of the issues that is dealt with by many of the Mefarshim in the Sedra, the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. We know that Nadav and Avihu, the two older sons of Aaron HaKohen, die on the day on which the Mishkan is being dedicated. What is unclear is exactly what sin prompts their deaths. We know the Chazal offer up many, many different interpretations as to why exactly Nadav and Avihu were deserving of dying in the spectacular fashion in which they died. Thank you. What I wanted to share tonight is Ibn Ezra's take on a number of psukim that address the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, and he does so in a way that, again, Kedarko Bakodesh, as Ibn Ezra always does, fits in the path, in the simple interpretation of the psukim, in ways that make us realize that there's so many things that we've always seen but haven't necessarily always paid attention to. The first step in Ibn Ezra's understanding of the deaths of Nadav and Avihu starts actually towards the end of Perek Tes, before Nadav and Avihu do whatever it is that they did. In the end of Perek Tes, Pasuk Chof Gimel, it says that after Aaron had brought various karbonos, Vayavo Moshe to Aaron al Ol Moed, Moshe and Aaron went into the Ol Moed, Vayetzu, they then left the Ol Moed, Vayvarchu es ha'am, and they blessed the people, Vayirachlo Hashem al Kol ha'am. And then the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to all of the people. The Chosim always ask the question, why did they go into the Ol Moed? Right? In other words, it says that Aaron and Moshe went into Ol Moed, and then they went out. Right? It's very tantalizing. So they went in, they came out, and what exactly did they do? What was the purpose of their going into the Ol Moed? So Rashi, just to give a little bit of a backdrop to the Ibn Ezra, Rashi brings two interpretations. Rashi writes that, first he poses the question, Lama Nichnasu, why did they go into the Ol Moed? Mosfosi the Pashas Milun the Brisa on the Sefer Altaris Kahanim Shalano says Rashi, I found it a special Brisa. Lama Nichnas Moshe in Aaron. Why did Moshe and Aaron go into the Ol Moed? Lilamdo Amaisak Torah. Right, that Moshe went in with Aaron to teach him the secrets involved in preparing the Torah and preparing the incense. Okay, so that's one interpretation that Rashi gives. Alternatively, Dover Acher, Kivon Shiro Aaron Shekarvu Kol HaKarbonos. Shekarvu Kol HaKarbonos. When Aaron saw that all of the karbonos had been offered up, and Asu Kol HaMaisim, and everything that was demanded had been done, Kolo Yardo Shechina LeYisrael, and the Shechina had not yet come down to the Jewish people. Again, it's not clear how he recognized that the Shechina was absent, but he felt the absence of the Shechina. Hayo Mitzar, the Omer, so Aaron got very upset, and he said, Yodei Ani Shekaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alai. I know it's all my fault, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset at me. Ushvili Lo Yard the Shechina LeYisrael, it's because of me the Shechina didn't come down. Omer Lo LeMoshe, Moshe Achi Kachos Yisroli, Shenechnafti Nisvayashti. Right, and Aaron turns to Moshe with a little bit of a complaint, you know, I'm embarrassed. Miyad nichnas Moshe ima uvichtu racham in viyad the Shechina LeYisrael. So Moshe and Aaron, therefore going to the Ol Moed, they daven, and the Shechina immediately comes down to the Jewish people. That seems to be the Rashi's interpretation of the end of the pasuk. Vayesu vayvarchu es ha'am, vayirach kvod Hashem al kol ha'am. Right, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to the entire nation because of the tefillah which Moshe and Aaron engaged in when they went into Ol Moed. The Ibn Ezra's interpretation, we'll see in a second, is similar, but not identical, to the second shot brought in Rashi. The Ibn Ezra writes, rather simply, V'achakim bo Moshe v'aron al Ol Moed, they went into the Ol Moed, V'yitochen shebo l'hispalil al ha'esh sh'teitzeh. It's possible that Moshe and Aaron went into the Ol Moed to daven, like Rashi's second interpretation, but not just to daven for the revelation of the Shechina in general terms, but they daven for a very specific thing. They asked that the Eish, that the fire, come down from Shemayim and consume the karbonos on the Mizbeach. Why was that so important? So again, we'll see within the Ibn Ezra, and the Rashbam speaks in the same as well, it was very, very important, critically important, that on that first day of the dedication of the Mishkan, the Esh, the fire, come from an entirely divine source. Right? The divine origin of the fire, the fact that the fire came down from heaven and consumed the Karbanos, was the sign for the Jewish people that the Mishkan had been accepted by God, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was truly going to enable His Shechina to dwell in this particular place. The Rashbam, who adapts a very, very similar approach, we'll see, to the Ibn Ezra throughout this whole piece of commentary, relates the appearance of the Eish to the appearance of the Eish to Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. You know, in Sefer Melachim, when Eliyahu wants to have a showdown with the Nevi'ei HaBaal, with the prophets of Baal, he wants to show them that Hashem Hu Elokim, that it's only Hashem who is God, there is no other God, Baal is not a God. The way he does that, the way he demonstrates the sovereignty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is he puts the carbon on the Mizbeach and he says, let God bring the ash, let him bring the fire down from heaven and consume the carbon. Although there was no contest over here between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Chalila, any competing deity, nonetheless, the fact that the Eish was going to come down from heaven was essential in order to demonstrate to the people that the Mishkan was 100% legitimate, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had signed off on the Mishkan, and in a sense, again, the Rashbam draws the comparison to Eliyahu, the Har HaKarmel. Indeed, the very next pasuk is Vatayse Eish Melifnei Hashem Vatochal Al Mizrach Es Ha'olav Yerpach Halavim. The Eish proceeds from before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it consumes that which is on the Mizrach, the Ola, the carbon Ola, the Halavim, and the fats which are there. On this comment is in Ezra, what's Ha'ola? Not just one particular carbon Ola, but there were three Karbanos Ola, which the Eish consumed, Olas Aaron, the Olas Ha'am, the Olas Ha'am. It was one carbon Ola that Aaron brought on behalf of himself, right? That was an Egel, to be machat, it was a calf, to be machat to its own, for the sin of the golden calf, and then one for the people, and then Olas Ha'amid, and then it also consumed the daily carbon, the Olas Ha'amid, because Ibn Ezra assumes before all of these special Karbanos marking the inauguration of the Mishkan were brought, there's a daily carbon which is supposed to be offered up on the Mizbeach, the carbon Talmud, that also, all of these carbonos Ola were on the Mizbeach, and there was no fire yet, comes down the fire and it consumes everything which has been placed on the Mizbeach up until that point. So the fire, and the fire originating from Hashem, is critically, critically important over here. The pasuk continues, Vayar Kol Ha'am, the people saw, Vayaromu, they lifted up their voices. Again, they were awestruck by this fire coming down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayiflach Neyam, they fell, they prostrated themselves. And again, this is all a reaction to this divine fire. Now let's read carefully the next pasuk. This is all an introduction to Nadav and Avihu. Let's read the next pasuk, the first pasuk in Perek Yud, where it describes the sin of Nadav and Avihu. Vayichu bnei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu ish machtoso. Nadav and Avihu each took a censer. Vayitnu vohein eish. They put fire into the censers. Vayoshimu aleha ktores. They put incense on top of the fire. Vayachrivu usnei Hashem eish zara asher lo tziva osam. And they brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu a foreign fire. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not commanded them. I think the common interpretation of Eish Zara is that they brought a foreign carbon, a carbon which had not been commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who told you to go bring Ketores? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command you to bring Ketores, so what were you doing bringing Ketores? But the Ezra draws our attention to the fact that it doesn't say Vayakrivu say Hashem carbon Zara. It's not that they brought a foreign carbon, or Ktores Zara, right, a foreign Ktores, a Yakriva was Me Hashem Eish Zara, the Pasuk says. They brought a foreign fire. And Ibn Ezra comments very succinctly, Vayitnu Vahen Eish, Lo Meha Eish Sheyatsa. This wasn't from the divine fire that had come down and consumed the carbonos on the Mizbeach. this was their own fire. V'zetam esh zara. That's what the pasuk means, that they brought a foreign fire, meaning a fire other than the fire which had come down min hashamayim. The Rashba, that's all the Ibn Ezra says. Again, the Ibn Ezra in his typical fashion is very terse. Somewhat unusually, the Rashbam over here is much more verbose. The Rashbam also is one of the, you know, likes to spare words when he comments. Here the Rashbam is unusually verbose, and he writes as follows. Even though Nadav and Avihu reasoned as follows. We had earlier in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, it says the Nasnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Eish al HaMizbeach, that the Kohanim are supposed to place the Eish on the Mizbeach. And Rashi, in fact, comments over there, quoting Chazal, that even though the fire typically comes down from heaven, mitzvah lahavi l'minat hedyot, nonetheless, there's a mitzvah for regular human beings to add fire on the Mizbeach, not to simply rely on the fire that's coming down from heaven. So, ordinarily, Nadav and Avihu would be justified in bringing Eish beyond that which came down from the heavens. However, Hayom lo tziva v'lo ratza Moshe shi'avil Eish el hedyo. Today was an exception to the rule. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want a fire other than that fire that was coming down from heaven. Because everyone was anticipating this fire coming down from the heavens. That would demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present and that he was fully satisfied with the Mishkan. Even though ordinarily an Eish Zara, what's an Eish Zara? A foreign fire. What's a foreign fire? A non-divine fire. A Eish Min Ahedya. Even though normally that's not only perfectly acceptable, but even desirable, right, to bring non-divine fire, but today was not a good day for that. Today is the opening day, the inauguration day. Today was his Saturday Shem Shamayim. Today, the plan was that there would only be a fire coming from the heavens in order to sanctify God's name. Shiyedu hakol ki esh bo min hashamayim. Right? Everyone should know that the fire is coming from heaven, and here he says what we quoted for him before. As Eliyahu said, by Hara Kamel, don't put fire on the Mizbeach. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone who was involved over here, thought that the biggest Kiddush Hashem that could take place would be that the Eish would come from heaven exclusively without any human involvement.
Did that come down before
the Eish? Okay, excellent. So, hold that question for just a minute. When did this Eish come down from the heavens? Right? So, the implication of the Ibn Ezra is that the sequence of events is as follows. This Eish comes down from the heavens, and then Nadav and Avihu decide, we know there's a concept that mitzvah lahavi min ahedyo, that there's ordinarily a concept that regular people, human beings, can bring Eish in addition to the Eish that comes down in Hashamayim. So let's do that, right? In other words, the implication of the Ibn Ezra is that after the fire has already come down, they go and they bring their own Eish. We'll see in just a moment that Rashbam actually argues on that sequence of events. Here I think there's although the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra are largely similar, I think this is one of the points of difference. What's the sequence of events exactly? See, the Rashbam has a somewhat different take on things, but the way I understand the Ibn Ezra, just because he doesn't say otherwise, is that the Eish came down from heaven, but they then decided to bring their own. Now, so going back to the Sukkim for a moment. So, all of a sudden, according to the Ibn Ezra, we can begin to understand what it was that Nadav and Avihu did that was incorrect. Right? Because there was such a build-up that there would be an Eish, a fire that would come down from heaven. And that was supposed to demonstrate to the people God's acceptance of the Mishkan. That was going to be the ultimate Kiddush Eish Shamayim. In fact, Moshe and Aaron had gone into the Ohel Moed, according to the Ibn Ezra, specifically to daven that there would be an Eish that would come from heaven. This was the focal point of everything. and here go, Nadav and Abihu, and they add their own ash. So in other words, they've to some extent undermined the whole miracle, the whole Kiddush Shem Shamayim of the fire coming down from heaven. Now, do they do so with good intentions? Yeah, they certainly do so with good intentions. But we know, Chazal tells us, Echad Mezid Ve'Echad Shogeg B'Chilul Hashem. If it was a Kiddush Shem Shamayim to demonstrate that the fire was coming down from heaven exclusively, so then on some level, it's a little bit of a Chilul Hashem to undermine the extent of that demonstration. And they might have had the best of intentions, that they were simply adding their own to the fire which was already there. But a Chilul Hashem B'Shogeg is also a terrible thing. And again, we know that they are punished, but the Ibn Ezra has also another unique explanation with regard to their punishment. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Beis, "Hatev say Eish Melifnei Hashem," a fire. Again, according to the Ibn Ezra, it sounds like a second fire comes out from before the Ribono Shel Olam, and it consumes them. "Vayomusu Lifnei Hashem." And they die before Hashem. What are the meanings of, what's the meaning of that phrase, Lifnei Hashem? So the truth is, Chazal recorded machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, where exactly did Nadav and Avihu die? Which mizbeach were they going to offer up the Torah? Right? One opinion says, well, the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem. Right? So in other words, they obviously, Lifnei Hashem implies that they went as far in as they possibly could. They went to the Mizbeach HaKtoras, to the inner Mizbeach, which is at least in the Kodesh, right? It's closer to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, right? So obviously they went in there to be makriv the Ktoras. The other opinion says, no, if they went in there to be makriv the Ktoras and they died there, so then, you know, when Mishael and Al-Safam go in to get them, what gave Mishael and Al-Safam the right to go in as far as the Kodesh and to extract another than Avihu? It must be that they died outside, that they were looking to bring them the Ktoras on the Mizbeach HaKitzon, on the outer Mizbeach, which again ordinarily would not be done, but might be done as part of the special service of the Miluim. Right? It might have been something unique to this particular experience. The Ezra skirts this entire issue because he gives a totally different interpretation to Vayomusu Lifnei Hashem. Says the Ibn Ezra, what does it mean that they died before Hashem? Ki chashvu shiyasu davar ratzoi lefano. They died thinking that they were fulfilling God's will. So in as Vayomusu Lifnei Hashem basically means that they died not as sinners, but they died doing that which they thought was correct. Vayomusu Lifnei Hashem, they were not, again, what did they do that was so terrible? They did that which under normal circumstances would be desirable. Normally HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Eish min ha-hedyot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants human fire to be added onto the divine fire that comes min ha-shamayim. The only reason what they did was incorrect was because, you know, under the circumstances, because it was the inauguration of the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a special display of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. But in the big picture, what they were doing was not so terrible. And again, they were tremendous tzaddikim for doing, you know, they thought, by a Musul of Hashem, they thought they were doing something which was totally fine in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, let's just finish off this thought, and indeed, that's what Moshe says to Aaron across the later. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem leimor. This is what Hashem has said, says to Ibn Ezra on another occasion. Bikrovai ekodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies himself with those who are particularly close to him. Meaning, don't think that Nadav and Avihu Chalila are terrible, terrible sinners. No, they're great tzaddikim. They were trying to do something that really under normal circumstances would be desirable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik the tzaddik of Kechut HaSaira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole tzaddikim to a very, very high standard. Basically, Nadav and Avihu are dying because of the fact that unwittingly they undermined what could have been a bigger Kiddush Hashem, which would have been performed over here.
Just one thing. According to the one who said that they were bringing in
In other words, the Eish came down in the Sefer Tikva. Yeah, that's where everybody saw it. Right, they don't see what's going on inside the Eish. Right, so it's interesting, we know in Halacha that Maris Ayin is also a field of Chadar Chadarim. In other words, you know, you have this concept that if you can't do something because of Maris Ayin, it looks bad, you can't even do it in private. Why? So one explanation might be because, unfortunately, as we know, there's no such thing as totally private. You know, even things that you do, you know, with all the shutters closed and all the windows closed and all the doors closed, you know, somehow they have a way of getting around. So in other words, people would know, they would see them with this Eish, which was clearly not the Eish, the Lefnei Hashem, you know, they would see them with this Eish going in, you know, to any part of the Mishkan, and they would say, oh, I guess, Adarabba, you know, This Eish coming down in Hashemayim is all for show on the outside, but when they really want to run things on the inside, they just strike a match, and you know, that's how they get the Eish. And if anything, it could be a bigger Chilul Hashem if they brought it on the Mizbeach HaPnimi in such a fashion.
And to see in person, if they would have brought the Eish from Hashemayim, that would have been okay.
Right, so it sounds like that is what the Ibn Ezra is saying. In other words, the complaint against Nadav Aviyu is the Eish Zara, right? Again, it's very striking in the Pasuk. It's something that you read the Pasuk many, many times, but you don't pay attention to it necessarily. It's not the Ktoras Zara, right? The Taina is not against the Ktoras. The Taina is against the source of the Eish. The Eish is close to the Ibn HaShamayim exclusively. To the extent to which they're bringing Eish from any other source, it undermines this incredible show, this incredible Kiddush Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to create, you know, in this particular context. So first of all, it's a very interesting take on the sin of Nadav and Aviyu. It preserves their tzidkus while at the same time really fitting the tzukim and explaining to us what their error was. And again, because it undermines the Kiddush Hashem Shamayim, unfortunately, it really was cause for a strong reaction. To some extent, it's reminiscent of some of the Mefarshim's interpretation of the sin of Mei Meriva. Right? In other words, Moshe and Aaron, whatever they do at Mei Meriva, right, they do something which inherently is not such a big deal, but in context undermines the Kiddush Hashem Shamayim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make. Again, you know, the miracle of drawing water from the stone via hitting the stone versus speaking to the stone, kind of going to Rashi. But whatever it is that Moshe and Aaron do over there exactly, it's relatively minuscule, but it somehow undermines the Kiddush Hashem. Yan lo hermantem bi lahakti sheni. Right? You didn't demonstrate the Kiddush Hashem to the fullest extent. That's what Nadav and Aviyu essentially are doing, according to the Ibn Ezra as well. So the Rashbam has a slightly different take on all of this, because the Rashbam, I think, overall holds with this approach, but the Rashbam adds in one kink where he says as follows, and again this is to Yaakov's point from before. Says the Rashbam, when Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph describes that Vayichu Bnei Aaron Nadav Aviyu Ish Machtasa, right, it describes Nadav and Aviyu bringing Torah. The sequence of events, says the Rashbam, is actually as follows. No Eish had come down from the heavens at all. Nadav and Aviyu preemptively went, took their own fire with the Torah, and went in the direction of the Mizbeach. Right? So we can understand, arguably this is even worse, the way the Rashbam portrays it. You're bringing your own Eish before any Eish is coming to Hashemayim. It's not even like you're adding on to Eish that came from heaven, but you're simply taking your own Eish from the get-go and moving in the direction of the Mizbeach. Says the Rashbam, the Eish that's described in Perek Tes Pasuk Chof Dalet, Vatetze Eish Melukei Hashem, and the Eishes which is described in Perek Yud Pasuk Beis, Vatetze Eish Melukei Hashem Vatochal Osam, is exactly the same Eish. And the way the Rashbam describes it is as follows. kishiyotzo ha'esh v'tochal esh ha'ola v'esh ha'shlamim shom izbeach ha'chitzom. Ketzei esh melefnei Hashem who pogo v'znei Aaron shom v'mesu v'achar kach yotzom yishom uvol izbeach ha'chitzom v'tochal esh ha'ola. The very same age came out of Shemayim. His first stop was to incinerate the Bnei Aaron, and then that very same age continued on to the Mizbeach HaChitzon and consumed the karbonos that were there waiting for consumption. Right? In other words, that's the way the Rashbam understands the sequence of events. It's the same age that consumed the karbonos, consumed the Bnei Aaron in its path. In a certain sense, you know, the Rashbam is saying that they got it, they literally got him a line of fire as the Aish proceeded out, and, you know, it was one act of fire descending from heaven that swept them up together with the Karbanos. That particular detail, I think, is unique to the Rashbam. I don't think the Ibn Ezra understands the sequence of events in quite that fashion, but again, what I do think is common to both the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra is this understanding that, you know, the primary sin of Nadav and Avihu was to bring their own Aish and not to rely exclusively on the spectacle of the Aish coming down in Hashamayim, which would have been the more impressive Kiddush Ein Shamayim, when considering the dedication of the Mizbeach. Just one more thing to contemplate before we break for Ma'ariv. So the Ibn Ezra has told us that the phrase L'fnei Hashem implies a certain purity of intent. Vayomutsu l'fnei Hashem means they died, but, you know, that they were not totally guilty. In other words, their hearts were in the right place, you know, even though they ended up doing something which was a terrible thing to do. Just coming off of Yom Tov, one can't help but be struck by the parallel phrase in Parshas Re'eh, this Samachto l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. Right, you should rejoice before Hashem. The Simchas HaYom Tov is described as rejoicing L'fnei Hashem. So what does L'fnei Hashem mean in that context? Although the Ibn Ezra doesn't say it in Parshas Re'eh, but arguably one can take the words of the Ibn Ezra here in Parshas Shmini and apply them to Parshas Re'eh. The Samachta L'fnei Hashem Elokecha means not only be the Simcha on Yom Tov, but be the Simcha L'shem Shamayim. It should be a Simcha that's L'fnei Hashem, with purity of intent, not just, oh, we're having a great time, oh, you know, the Chol HaMoed activities are out of this world, you know, but the purity of intention should be something which should be maintained throughout the Simcha Sachag, and perhaps that's the meaning of the Samachta L'fnei Hashem in the context of Yom Tov as well. Okay,